Jesus' name, amen.
Before you guys sit down, give your friends a hug. I don't think hi, Mike.
Hello. Is it on? Oh, hi. That's not my fault. That was not my fault. It was not me. I promise. I'm up here. It's back there. Oh, wow. Okay, well, hey, guys, grab a seat. Has anyone noticed that we put the speakers up on the ceiling? Do you like it or not? I like it. It's kind of weird, though. I feel like I'm going to be looking there a lot today. Well, hey, like Chad said, we are starting a new series called What is Love? And we ask you guys every May what we could do better here at Overflow, what you want to see happen differently, and even get an idea of what you guys want us to talk about throughout the year. And one of those things that you guys said, a couple of you said actually, are the letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. If you went on our early apologetics mission trips or even any local mission trip, we went over 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John every single time. And we talked about what it looks like to love in all places and in all times, to love everybody. And so I think the best place to start with what love is in 1 Corinthians 13. So if you have your Bibles, flip over to 1 Corinthians 13. It is in the New Testament. It's before Galatians. Did anyone memorize the Books of the Bible song? I won't sing it, but... Okay, I'll sing it. But I'm only going to do the New Testament because I think the Old Testament's a lot harder. Okay, wait, now I'm embarrassed. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and letters to the Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews and the book of James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelations. There you go. So, can I have a very bold volunteer, like I was just bold to sing that song, stand up and read 1 Corinthians 13 for us? 1 Corinthians, yeah, it's only 13 verses, so it's not that much. Connor, I think you want to read it. Awesome. Thank you, Connor. So we see in 1 Corinthians 13 what it looks like to love our neighbor. Some really tangible ways to love and engage those around us. and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are very similar, except they focus more so on what loving God looks like. And so we are going to just dive in over the next few weeks and get some really good, tangible steps and just some practical ways to love God. And I think this is really good for us. We just came off talking about joy and how joy is just this overflow of what God has done for us. And we can't love God without accepting his love for us first. And so I think this series will be really great for us as we continue to learn and grow and who God is making us to be and how we can become deeper Christ followers after him. So let's pray, and then we are going to jump into 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Jesus, thank you for this place, God. Thank you for the safety that this room brings to so many people. God, I just ask that as we dive into your word, God, that it becomes alive and active, and we know that scripture tells us that it already is. So, God, I just ask that you open our eyes to see that. Father, you open our hearts. And, God, as we talk about abiding today, God, I just ask that you teach us something new about what abiding in you looks like. And, God, how this became so, God, real in my life over the past couple weeks as I've been studying it. God, I just ask that it becomes real to my friends in this room. God, that we can continue to learn and grow together. God, and just love you more. I ask that you are glorified in all that we think, say, and do today. We love you a lot. Amen. So I wanted to give us a basis of what 1st through 3rd John is about. We have the author, who is John, the son of Zebedee. We see that, or scholars think that this is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. It has a lot of the same literary elements, a lot of the same writing styles. And also we see that this is the same John that Jesus called his beloved disciple. So he is really close with Jesus. He was one of the two who went to the empty tomb. The other was Peter. And we also see that this is someone who walked very closely with Jesus. And so when I take a step back and look at it, I feel like he has a lot of what he says matters because he lived it and he walked closely with Jesus. And so he has a lot to say about this. We see that there are some themes in 1st through 3rd John. The first is true doctrine. What does it look like to go back to what the Bible says and why it says it? Also, it goes through obedient living, fervent devotion. And so in 1st John, we see that it talks a lot about sanctification and just the gift of salvation that God gives us. So what he has done for us. And then in 2nd and 3rd John, it moves more into that obedient living and fervent devotion. And so what does it look like to imitate Christ? What does it look like to obey Christ? So we'll see that as we kind of progress throughout this series. And then last, oh, whoa. We got it. The purpose is to encourage and remind the early Christians what God had done for them, how we can walk in his light and follow closely after him. And so this is just a really easy basis for what 1st through 3rd John is about. And as I was reading it, I really saw three main themes come alive when I was reading it. And those are the three main themes we'll be talking about over the next couple weeks. And those are love abides, love obeys, and love imitates. And so we are going to look at what each of those things mean. But before we do that, I want to define each of those. That way we are all on the same page as we're talking and discussing in small groups, as we're talking here and engaging God's word. What does scripture say about these three words? And so first we're going to start with abide. Abide is a life-giving connection to God. A connection is a reciprocal relationship. So there's this idea of give and take. But abiding also implies a dependence. And this aspect of abiding, unlike connection, is not reciprocal. So a dependence isn't something that happens both ways. Think about a baby. A baby is born, and there is a connection to its parents. There's a give and take. It might not seem like it in the first couple years, so I've heard, but the baby gives its parents a lot of joy and happiness and laughter and tears, but in return, those parents are giving unconditional love to their child. So that's the connection side. The dependent side comes from, in the first few years of a baby, you literally cannot survive without your parents. So that's where the dependence comes. You need them to feed you. You need them to teach you how to live and how to breathe, essentially. And so that's a really easy example of what abiding looks like. And then with obey, it means to comply with a command, direction, or request of someone or the law. So we obey the law. If you are under 21, you don't drink. You submit to the authority or something of something or someone. Your mom asks you to take the trash out. You obey your mom because she is someone in authority over you. Isaiah's like, I don't do that. And then to imitate, it means to copy or to simulate something. So when we're scrolling through Instagram and we see the famous person that we're following and they're wearing a really great outfit, girls, what do? We go out and we buy something very similar and we imitate them. Or guys, when you see, I don't really know how to relate this to a guy. When you see someone playing really great in basketball during March Madness, you're going to learn how to do the layup just like them. Sports. But really, in all honesty, we see these three themes come alive a lot in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Again, 1st John is a lot of what God has done for us and our responses to abide in him. And then 2nd and 3rd John move more into the practical living, which would be very similar to how James, the book of James, gives us more of a list of when we are Christians, we do these things out of an overflow of our heart. So we'll see in 2nd and 3rd John a very similar idea of what we see in James. And so it's been really interesting for me studying through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I feel like it has become really alive to me recently, and I've read it a million times. You can look. I have two Bibles up here because one's a different version. If you look in this one, it's highlighted. It's marked up. I have questions. I have things circled. I really interacted with it. But it didn't become real to me until, honestly, just the other day. I was thinking through ways that I did really well of loving others and loving God and accepting his love. And I also was thinking through ways where I did this really poorly, where I didn't accept love from someone or when I was really mean to someone. And so that helped me a lot as I was preparing. But it became very real to me on Thursday. And so a lot of you know that over the last year, I've just struggled with some anxiety. And so I try to be really open with you guys. That way we can journey through it together because I know a lot of us in this room struggle with anxiety. And we go through different seasons of having it, and then it goes away because God just is allowing us not to have it at that time. And so Thursday night, I just found myself having a really big anxiety attack. And it was in the moments following where I remembered what I was reading in Scripture about what it looks like to abide in God's love and what does it look like to accept that love when God abides in me. So whether or not you struggle with anxiety, we all go through times where we feel overwhelmed. And so I want us to think about a time where you felt overwhelmed, but think about the response that you had to it. Did you call a friend? Did you listen to worship music? Did you pray? Did you deal with it on your own? I would say about 98% of the time, I do the latter. I don't tell people what's going on. I keep it all in, and then it will blow up, and I am left feeling alone, feeling lonely, or still feeling really overwhelmed and anxious about things. And so for whatever reason, This anxiety attack on Thursday really allowed me to open my eyes and my heart to what Scripture was saying in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so I'm really excited to share with you guys because I feel like it's real to me, and I feel like I am going to be journeying through this with you guys. And so I'm excited to dive in. And I want to make clear, I'm going to be talking a lot about how we abide in God and God can abide in us. But the only way that happens is if we put our faith and our hope in Jesus. We can't love a gift if we don't accept it first. I can't love someone if I'm not allowing them to love me. So that is the basis, and that's the foundation where we're going to start, is if we are believers, we have allowed God's love to come and penetrate our heart. So now our response is to love him as well. And so if 1 John makes it pretty clear that we abide in the truth. What love is love is abiding in the truth. And we see this in 1 John 4:13-19. So let's flip over now to 1 John. If you remember in my song, it is before 2 and 3 John, after 2 Peter. It's near the very back of your Bibles. Again, if you need to use the table of contents, go for it. We are all learning about where the books of the Bible are, guys, so use your table of contents. But we are in 1 John 4, verses 13 through 19. And it says this: "This is how we know that we live in him and him in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears has not made love perfect. We love because he first loved us." So this is just a very basic foundation of where to start. The truth is that God loved us because he sent his Son to die on the cross for us. And so abiding in truth just means we sit and we accept and we connect and we depend on this truth right here. Again, the only way that we can love God is by first allowing him to love us. We also see this idea of abiding in John 15, and this is the Gospel John, so earlier in the Bible. It talks a lot about, well, basically, it's saying that we are a vine, and God is the vine dresser, or we're the branches, and God's the vine, and so we live connected to God. We have this dependence upon him. When we're in his word, when we're worshiping, when we are worshiping both with our lives and musical worship, when we're praying, when we're serving, we are connected to the true vine, the source of life. And specifically in verses 5 and 7, we see that John's telling us that when we're abiding in Jesus, knowing the truth that Jesus and the Father are working together for our best abilities, that is the truth that we abide in. They love us, so we, when we abide, we're loving them. It's the connection that we talked about earlier. It's that reciprocal relationship of when we are putting in, Jesus is putting out for us. And it talks a lot about when we go through hard times, God is pruning us and he's taking things away. And so if any of you are gardeners, anyone? Nope, great. Yeah. So with roses, when roses are blooming and they're dying, you need to take them away so that the new ones can come. And that is pruning. You're taking things out so the new can come in. And this is what God allows us to do a lot of the times. He lets us walk through really hard times because of the outcome. But the only way we know that the outcome is good is by abiding in him and knowing his word and knowing the truth. So in 1 John 2:5-6, we are going to be all over you guys, so just gear up because you are going to be flipping in your Bibles a lot today. 2:5-6 says, "But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." We abide in truth by reading truth. And guys, this is honestly one of the hardest parts about following Jesus for me specifically, is intentionally setting aside time to be in God's word. But this is how you abide in truth. It is very similar to working out. You get stronger the more you do it. You will abide in truth more the more you do it. And you will be able to recall on truth more the more you're in God's word. It's this reciprocal relationship that's happening. This verse specifically, just to make it really clear, it says, you know the truth. You know it, so you live it. The more you live it out, the more you know it. The more you know it, the more you want to live it out. And then also in John 3:24, it says the same thing. If you love God, you abide in his truth. And a lot of you probably know about this, but we have this really cool book of promises that we keep in our library that you guys can go and grab. And it's a really easy resource. So say you want to know more promises about identity. It's just the first one I opened up to. It gives you all the verses that talk about where God promises your identity is found. So the more you spend time understanding truth and abiding in the truth, the more you're loving God. He gave you this love, so you are now returning it back to him. And then also Galatians 5:24-25 tells us that we need to live in step with the Spirit, that the old has been crucified with Christ. And when we put our faith, hope, and love in Jesus, the new has come. And so we live in this truth. And we'll talk more about living in the truth of the newness that we are later on today. So we will get there soon. So not only do we love God by abiding in truth, but we also love God by abiding in who Jesus is. And this has been a big one for me recently, is being able to recall on who Jesus says he is and why he says he is that. And so we're going to look at 1 John 2:1-2, and then specifically 1 John 4:13-19 again. Again, we can't abide in Jesus unless Jesus is abiding in us. Because of the gift of the cross and the gift of salvation, we are now called sons and daughters of God, and so we can then abide in him. But we can't do that unless he abides in us. And I'm going to be repeating that over and over again because I want us to understand that the foundation of us abiding is by first allowing God to abide in us. So let's read 1 John 2:1-2. It says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, which we all will, we have an advocate with our Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world." So for those of you who do claim to be a Christ follower, who do follow after Christ, this gift is for you. But for those of you who aren't sure, who are questioning, who are still trying to figure it out, this is also for you. Jesus didn't just do this for a select group of people. He came and lived a perfect life for all of us. So an advocate is someone who supports another person on their behalf. We see this a lot in law, where someone will go and make a defense for you. And John is telling us that when we put our faith and hope in Jesus, that Jesus is going before the Father to do this. He is pleading our case. He's supporting us. And I think this is really comforting, and I think this is something that we don't think about a lot as Christians, or at least I don't. I don't think about the fact that I have someone going before me when I sin, when I can't think of the words to pray. I have someone interceding on my behalf. I have someone going and pleading before our Father. And we have to be reliant on Jesus. Let's look at it like this. That's a very nice ringtone. It's very soothing. It's a gift. So my birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks, and Bridget really wants to get me a gift. Bridget, this is your shout out that you asked for. So I want a birthday gift. I can't accept my new pair of Lululemons and Birkenstocks and Patagonia jacket. So I can't be thankful for that unless I accept it. So I can't love and wear and use those things unless I'm willing to accept it. Jesus can't be our advocate unless we are willing to accept the gift that he gave us. We can't abide in who Jesus is unless we let him abide in us. What does it look like to abide in Jesus? This is a lot harder than how it sounds. This is really hard for me. In my life, it's looked like me having to surrender my will every single day. It is me having to surrender my anxieties and the thoughts and the worries that I have. It's me having to surrender wanting to go and travel every weekend because I don't have a ton of money. Abiding in Jesus is trusting him. It's depending on him to provide every need that you have. If you don't have friends, it's depending on him to bring in those people who are going to give you a connection, who are going to fill you up. If you don't have a great family life, it's depending on him to come and give you that family life through people here at Overflow or through a mentor that you have. It's trading your worries and anxieties and fears for the truth of who Jesus is and who he is. So when I'm feeling weak, I know that he is my strength. When I am feeling broken, I know that he is my restorer. And this book of promises also gives us that. It gives us really practical and easy places to go in Scripture to find those things. But I also want to touch on some other ones that Scripture says. And Chad and I were talking about this morning, and we were laughing because this literally has been my medicine over the last year, is when I'm feeling really anxious and I'm feeling broken, I go back to the fact that Jesus is my restorer. He is my fortress, and he is the one carrying me through. When you are battling with self-harm, when you're battling with an eating disorder, your parents are going through a divorce, this is where you go. You abide in who Jesus is because he is the one who is going to get you through it. Going back to how we deal with what overwhelms us, we can either rely on ourselves or we can rely on who Jesus is and what he's done and accepting that free gift that he gave us on the cross. But we can't do that unless we can't abide in Jesus and who he is unless we're accepting that gift. So we've talked about abiding in the truth. We've talked about abiding in who Jesus is. But I also think that John's making a point that when we love God, we abide in who we've become. There is a newness that comes. When we find our identities in Christ, we're given a new title. And it says in Scripture that we are made a new creation. And so we are going to read 1 John 3. So if I can have someone read through 1 John 3, 1 through 3, that would be awesome. 1 John 3, 1 through 3, I need one volunteer. Thanks, Abby.
1 through
3? Yes, just 1 through 3.
See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure.
Awesome. This is something I don't think a lot about. I don't think about the fact that I am adopted into God's family. And how cool is that? This is especially cool for those of us who come from really crappy families. If you have put your faith and hope in Jesus, you are adopted into a family that is perfect. while we're here on earth, it's not going to be perfect and there are going to be hardships, but we have a hope for something greater coming, and that is that we are adopted into a family. This is nothing that we've done. Scripture talks a lot about that we can do nothing to earn grace, to earn salvation, to earn anything, but it's that free gift that's given to you, and we just have to accept it. It is by faith that we have been saved, and it is by faith that we have become a new creation. The Father loved us so much, it says in John 3:16, that he sent his Son to die. And this isn't anything that you have done, but it's a gift that you can accept. By accepting the Father's love, we can abide in who we are in a new creation. Can I have someone now read 1 John 3:4 through 10? 1 John 3:4 through 10. Thanks, Don.